ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 14 टाइटल्ड ब्रह्मास प्रेयर्स टू लॉर्ड कृष्णा। टेक्स्ट नंबर 8 तत्तेनुकंपं सुसमीक्षमानो भुञ्जानैवात्मकृतं विपाकं हृद्वाग्वपूर्वीर्विदधन् नमस्ते जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदयाभाग् तत्ते। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर लॉर्ड, वन हु अर्नेस्टली वेट्स फॉर यू टू बेस्टो योर कॉजलेस मर्सी अपॉन हिम, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Purport. Srila Sridhara Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness, following the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word su-samikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord, and therefore the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words, Dhaya Bhak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is in fact a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering your respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Hare Krishna. After the Vyas Puja, I am sure there are many senior disciples, Prabhupadas, I don't know, but this is my maybe arrogance to sit here and talk on this, something very, very important, very familiar, popular words, especially in a devotee's life when he is facing crisis, how this verse gives hope, faith, inspiration, enthusiasm to continue devotional service. So please, we'll try, because devotees are living a life, you need experience to speak on this verse. But still, this is an opportunity, as it is said, spiritual life means purification. So this verse is a prayer offered by Brahma. Now the verse begins, therefore. So the previous verse, how Brahma has glorified. You know that how, what happened to Brahma. You know the, in what state he is offering these prayers. Brahma is a secondary creator. Just imagine, what is his power, you know, what is his knowledge, what is his experience. In one sense, he's not an ordinary person, he's really very, very great. So in that greatness, because somewhere he got bewildered and he wanted to test whether this is Supreme Lord. And he was very sure that he was waiting, that maybe I do like this, he will react like this, he'll come searching, or he may come to ask me, where have you hidden them? So when the Lord revealed to him his potency, here is Brahma completely surrendering. Actually, this type of feelings, if you can get, I mean, that's a perfection. When all your misconceptions in life gets wiped away, you can see clearly what is truth and what is our insignificant position. It is very natural that you should just surrender. If it's anything is stopping us, is only because of our selfishness and ego. But here, Brahma's ego was completely crushed. So, therefore, he says in this verse, now he is not just talking about the greatness of Lord, he is going a little further beyond, that the Lord is also very merciful. It is not just great. He is very sweet, he is very kind, he is very loving, he is very compassionate. So when difficulties come in life, which will come, is there anyone here in this world, whether you are taking to spiritual life or not taking to spiritual life, everyone has something or other to speak on his difficulties. You give a chance to someone, he will bring out his difficulty. So that means the difficulties is all pervading. This is how the material nature is designed. So does it mean, someone asked this question once, does difficulty means bhakti? No, it is not that difficulty means bhakti. But while doing bhakti, when difficulties come and how you face it, that difficulty becomes bhakti. Otherwise, difficulties is all around. You just see people around, moving around. Everyone has difficulties. I mean, who is keeping any connection with the Supreme Lord? So difficulty is not bhakti. No, sometimes, coming to Krishna consciousness, is it just difficulties? Of course not. But this is how the Lord has designed, that unless there is difficulty, it is very difficult for one to be really focused about really the what is the purpose of life. It is also one sense a mercy in the sense he just lifts up the curtain of material existence, makes us see that what is the nature, so that you understand. Only that person can surrender, one who is completely disgusted with material life. That's a very advanced state, to be very disgusted with material life. There is so many things you can be, you know, continuing your spiritual life and your attachments and your temptations and sense gratification. To be really disgusted means you have no hopes here. This is just a place of suffering. Then you surrender. But that doesn't happen so easily because we are carried from our so many past millions of births. So the tendency to enjoy is there. As here Prabhupada is saying in the purport that whether he is a new devotee or an advanced devotee, it is not that difficulties will not come. But the nature of difficulties, the type of difficulties may vary. It may not be the same. For example, someone who is in third standard, he has to face a test. No, unless he passes the test, he can't go to fourth standard. But if he thinks that, my God, fourth standard test is very difficult, why should I pass third standard? There is no way of making progress. So in comparison to eighth standard, definitely it is very difficult for a third standard. But difficulties have to be there. Test has to be passed. That's the only way you can make progress. And that is what is merciful nature of the Lord. It is not that he is cruel. He just wants us back. So this is how it's designed. So in connection with this, Prabhupada also gives a commentary in Nectar of Devotion to this verse. So I thought we can just read that also. This is in chapter 10th. The title is Techniques of Hearing and Remembering. And one subtitle is How Do You Expect Lord's Mercy? Ultimately, it is mercy. You're waiting for mercy. As we heard in Mayapur, that on your own effort, you can do karma kanda activities. You can develop some material comforts. You can go to the heavenly kingdom. You can attain mystic yoga by your own effort. You can also attain liberation. But to attain Lord's mercy or His abode or prema, it is only by His mercy. So how do you get His mercy? Now Prabhupada again gives a commentary in Nectar of Devotion, 10th chapter, expecting the Lord's mercy. So to the same words, this statement of Srimad Bhagavatam should be the guide of all devotees. It's a guide. A devotee should not expect immediate relief from the reactions of his past misdeeds. When in the beginning, when we used to associate with devotees, this question was very common. What happens to all my sinful reactions? Of course, they are taken away, but the analogy was given about now the fan is switched off. Does it mean the fan is going to stop immediately? The momentum is going to be a little slow. The Lord is very kind, it's slow, but it is going to come. No conditioned soul is free from such reactionary experiences because material existence means continued suffering or enjoying of past activities. That's all. Material existence means there'll be just suffering because of our past misdeeds. There'll be also enjoyment because of past good deeds. But when you're enjoying, you're creating more reactions. That means just material existence. You are bound here. If one has finished his material activities, then there is no more birth. That means he has purified all his reactions. This is possible only when one begins Krishna conscious activities, because such activities do not produce reaction. This is something very enthuses us that how important it is to engage in always Krishna conscious activities. Time anyway will pass, but engaging in Krishna conscious activities how is so different from any other activity. There is no reaction. That means you are going towards the path of going beyond all this material suffering. Therefore, as soon as one becomes perfect in Krishna conscious activity, is not going to take birth again in this material world. A devotee who is not perfectly freed from the resultant actions should therefore continue to act in Krishna consciousness seriously, even though there may be so many impediments. When such impediments arise, he should simply think of Krishna and expect his mercy. That is the only solace. That is the only solace. If the devotee passes his days in that spirit, it is certain that he is going to be promoted to the board of the Lord. By such activities, he earns his claim to enter into the kingdom of God. The exact word used in this verse, Dayabhag. Dayabhag refers to a son's becoming the lawful inheritor of the property of the father. In a similar way, a pure devotee who is prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulations in executing Krishna conscious duties becomes lawfully qualified to enter into the transcendental abode. So this commentary and this verse is something which is Prabhupada says is like a guide, because difficulties will definitely come. Also in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna was facing the same problem, it was really a crisis for him, whether to please Krishna or whether to please. It was a very painful thing. This is also a problem. What do you do? It can happen in our life also. No? We have to please two devotees, but they are giving contradictory instructions. You follow this, then you are going to displease him. So in that type of crisis, how? How do we? So of course, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, and once Arjuna was convinced, then there was no questions asked. He just went ahead with full faith that what he was doing was right. So the famous verse in second chapter, it says that you are not this body. Well, if I am not this body, then immediately the next verse is Matrasvashastu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukkada Agama Paino Anityastam Titikshashva Bharat. You are not this body, but you are going to face the suffering. So the suffering has a beginning and an end. What you have to do, just have patience. Suffering is just like, you know, just waiting. When happiness comes, suffering is also waiting around the corner. There is no question about enjoyment, just waiting. So have patience, just like seasons, it goes and comes. So this is how it is said in Bhagavad Gita, or to just to emphasize this point about that how difficulties will come in sadhana. Of course, we take inspiration from many personalities in the Bhagavatam, like, you know, of course, we have Pandavas, we have Prahlad, we have Haridas Thakur, but then Kunti Maharani. Kunti Maharani is one prayer, which is again when Krishna is about to leave Hastinapur, how she is remembering. Now you know her life, so miserable, one after another. But here she is saying in these words, Yata Rishikesha Kalena Devaki Kamsena Ruddha Tichiram Sucharpita Vimositaham Chasa Sa Atma Javibo Tvayevanathena Muhur Vipadganat. Now interesting thing in this verse is Kunti Maharani is saying that she has received more mercy than even Devaki. You know, Devaki is not an ordinary problem what she went. How many years they were in jail? And they just waiting. One day something will happen. They went on. But Kunti, of course, finally they were released. But she is saying here that, but I was more merciful. Why she was most merciful? Because Krishna saved her children also. not only her, but also her. But in Devaki's case, it was not like that. So she feels that you are so kind that you have given me so much mercy. This is what she is expressing. Now, why did Krishna do like that? Because Devaki had her husband. She was not alone. So husband was there to take care of her even if she... But Kunti, she was a widow. No one was there for her. It was only her children who were there. So he protected the children. So this is how is the Lord's mercy, in what form it comes, how. So of course, this is a very advanced subject in this path. But Acharyas, by their own example, they give us instruction. So I just heard about Prabhupada. How was Prabhupada? You know, Prabhupada's difficulties, how was he thinking? Of course, we all know that Prabhupada's difficulties in life is not because of any karmic reaction. But he wanted to teach us in all aspects of life how we should face, how we should think. Such a great opportunity. So B.B. Govinda Maharaj is speaking about one thing. In 1977, December, Prabhupada had already left. So he was just walking around in Delhi, Connaught Place. So someone came to him and said, I knew Prabhupada. So Maharaj said, of course, everyone knew Prabhupada. So, no, but I knew Prabhupada. So he was, yes, what is it? So he said that I am an Ayurvedic doctor, or he had a shop. And Prabhupada, those days, when he used to travel from Vrindavan to Delhi, he'll be passing in front of his shop. And this person would always fold his hand to Prabhupada and ask, Prabhupada, any instruction, any service? And Prabhupada would say, just chant Hare Krishna. So this was going on. One day Prabhupada stopped. He said, I have something for you. The place where I am staying is not very proper. Can you look out for a place? So this person's father-in-law was the trustee of Radha Krishna Temple in Chippiwada. So he said, please go and meet him. He'll arrange for an accommodation. So that is how Prabhupada started staying there. And Prabhupada would say that Radha Damodar Temple was his office in Vrindavan, and Radha Krishna Temple in Delhi. Chippiwada was his office in Delhi. So this way, of course, many years passed. Then Maharaj was a little curious to know that place, Bibi Govinda Maharaj. So he took the address and he went to that place. And that father-in-law, trustee, was still there. So he received him a lot of respect. And they spoke about Prabhupada's glories, pastimes, what he did in Delhi. But then he said something very interesting. He said, Prabhupada is to write letters to me. Will you like to know? So, yes, he said, I would like to see the letters. So these letters were lying up in the loft. There were 10 letters which are all wrapped in dhoti. So he removed all the dust. So he read one letter which was very much inspiring, connected to this verse. This is a verse. So the early, when ISKCON was not so established, maybe 70, 71, 70, I think Prabhupada had a very major stroke again. He was paralyzed. So the letter read, Prabhupada writing to this trustee where he was saying, so and so, dear. He said, I am in a very bad state. I can't even lift up my hand. I am getting loud ringing noise. I am getting headache. I have no appetite. I may die anytime. So the next paragraph it goes, I want you to go to Mathura. This letter is from US coming here. Go to Vishram Ghat, and nearby there is one Ayurveda shop, and he specifies some sadhana Ayurveda. Don't go to any other shop. They are all quacks. Go to this person. These are my problems. Take this medicine and send it to me. This may save my life. So, after that, immediately writes, don't misunderstand. I am not fearful of death. Don't think I want to prolong my life. The next paragraph. If at this stage, if I die, then it will be a big loss. Why? Because I have not fulfilled my Guru's instruction. So this is what he was thinking in that state. Of course, all devotees, we should try to live a long life. We should really, should not be careless about. But Prabhupada here clearly saying that how in that state he's thinking about Krishna, he's thinking about Guru's instruction, he wants to fulfill it. So he becomes a recipient of Krishna's mercy. One who is waiting and glorifying from heart, from his words, by his body, he is just glorifying in that state of difficulty, really very bad state. So this was an inspiring thing about Prabhupada's life, where he lived this verse, waiting for always mercy. He never ever forgot the mission, the instruction. So here it is said that, you know, purifactory process, how for us, what does it mean, purifactory process? It is not that we have to wait till we have to be in some difficulties. In our life, we can just recollect, it has been only just mercy, 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 mercy. If you just look back, just kindness, you can go on counting our blessings. Everything so nice has happened. Everything nice, you know. Coming, how we came, we don't know. So already mercy is there. But still, Prabhupada, for a devotee who is struggling to purify, these are the only things he has to do. He has to just chant with this mood that, you know, this will purify me. He has to hear, he has to serve, follow four regulative principles. He has to offer obeisances. Now, it is not said that you have to do some big austerity. Just simple obeisances with this mood. Great. And then, of course, if there is an instruction you have received, meditate on that. You know, how are you doing? So this way, just waiting, waiting. So when you wait, there is definitely a Lord's mercy. In what way? But when just following this itself, you know, it takes us to the mode of goodness, and all these material types of sufferings, they don't affect you much because you are lifted up your consciousness. Because many times this question is asked, what did Prabhupada meant by chant and be happy? I'm chanting, but I'm not happy. But there is something in the middle which is not read. Chant, struggle, you have to go through. And when you are purified, then you inherit. Then it is beyond. This happiness is not the happiness of some flickering sense gratification or in the mode of goodness. This is far beyond just ever-increasing happiness. That's what is chant and be happy. But there is something which is also should be seen within. So this is how a devotee is waiting. Just to conclude, there is another one very short story I heard. Just I was hearing some classes. So this is a story told by Bhakti Vaibhav Swami. So he just in this context that there was one priest in Mathura, very simple man, very poor, but he was very fixed in his sadhana, simple, no big austerity, simple life, simple, he was worshipping Shaligram. So he'll go to Jamuna to fetch water, he'll take bath and he'll worship. But he was very regular in his service. Whether it is cold or it is summer, he'll get up very early in the morning. Simple activities. But then one day, because he used to get up very early, he went, took bath. But then it was so dark. There was no moon, there was no stars. And it was a very foggy morning. So he turned back to reach his cottage. He could not see anything. He didn't know which direction to go. Everything was dark, pitch dark. So he was confused where to go now. Even though he was daily going, but now he didn't know where to go because everything, fog. So in that state, this is also a problem, you know, where to go, which direction to go, nothing. So he was just waiting, waiting, waiting. What will happen? So then he saw some flickering light. And the light started coming closer and closer and closer. And when it came closer, it was a light coming from a lantern. And this lantern was held by a small boy. So he came close and he said, "What are you doing here?" So he said, "I don't know, you know, I don't know how to go back to my cottage." So he asked him, "How does your cottage look like?" So he told this boy, "My cottage is like this, like this, like this." "Oh, is it like that? Even I am going in the same direction. Come, I'll take you there." So you took him there. He reached the cottage and he bent his head to enter the court. Suddenly remembered I should thank him. So he turned to thank him and there was no one. So this is a story, of course, it's where Lord is always there. He's always watching to give mercy. In what way the mercy comes? So in this verse, the most difficult state, how we express our mood to be very patient and accept it as something very good. Maybe it's very easy to speak when we are confronted. We don't know how we react. It's a very difficult thing. In what way it can come, but it is there. So all these words what we hear from Prabhupada, and you know, it gives us inspiration, you know, it gives us hope, you know, you went devotees association, go on. Otherwise, if you don't have this, what happens usually when there is difficulties? You know, the most common thing is how to, you know, just blame or escape or get deviated or, you know, take to some sinful life or intoxication. So that is the difference. The material world is designed. Every one of them have to go through suffering. So only difference is how do you face, as it is Brahmaji is saying, therefore when this happens, su samikshamana, he said, earnestly waiting. But the Sanskrit word also means, aksha means eye, su means very auspicious. So when your vision becomes very clear, then you can see how the Lord's hand is behind everything. So that is su samikshamana. So with that clear vision, he is waiting because he has full faith and confidence. Because the vision is clear. Waiting for what? Anukampa. And what is the end result? Mukti pade. Of course, mukti is liberation from all sufferings. And pade is the shelter of Supreme Lord. So it is not that that mukti. It is in relationship with the Supreme Lord. It is purely a loving relationship. The devotee is with all patience, is waiting, waiting, and waiting, and the mercy comes. There's a lot of patience. So this is what has Prabhupada given us everything here, that in our life how we can chant and Now, in our hospital, we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam. There are a few minutes. So this verse says about Swayambhuva Manu. Now, Swayambhuva Manu lived for how many years? I don't know, you can't count how many years. Usually old age is very tasteless life. There is nothing in old age, you know, you become very... But someone who has tasted, he remains young throughout, even if he is old, but in his heart, he remains young because he is tasting something higher. Just imagine how to prepare for old age. So this is how this verse, Brahmaji is giving us a lot of hopes, inspiration, faith, enthusiasm to continue devotional service in spite of all difficulties, and same time also experience happiness. It is not that, austerity and, I heard once, I think, Zolinez Radhanath Maharaj was saying about how Vedic culture is full of joy and happiness. If it is really properly performed, in spite of difficulties, it is just joy and happiness. Imagine. And in this world of suffering. He was talking to the children, that how children are engaged, they're doing dramas, dancing, music, and all. And they're making progress. And it's just fun. So devotional service can be also fun. Purifactory process can be fun, but it is not fun. The analogy given is that why it is not fun many times is to just wake us up many times, When we are on our own, we think that everything, I'm going on nice, you're spaced out, you're thinking about, I've done this, I've not done, I'm good, I'm respected. I've been for so many years. I understood. I'm chanting well. So the analogy given is that a person who is walking with a lot of joy and happiness like this, thinking everything is, very complacent. What happens to his consciousness when a thorn pricks him? His whole consciousness gets focused to that prick. All other things he just forgets. So these difficulties, just to make us more focused now on this, I need to purify myself so that come back again to chant attentively. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Brajlila Mataji, you want to? You have experience? Anyway, thank you very much for coming here. We are very fortunate to meet all devotees who travel from far off places. We don't travel. So this is a great blessing for us that we remain at one place and we get a chance to associate with wonderful devotees coming from all over the world. So thank you very much once again. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.